talk about a subject today. You don't hear this phrase, I don't think, that much anymore. It used to be. Okay, you can. You don't hear this phrase anymore, not like you used to. When I was coming along, you used to hear talk about the Christian home, a Christian home. Do you hear that phrase anymore? A Christian home. My beloved is mine, and I am his. The Song of Solomon, 2:16. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Song of Solomon, 6:3. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Song of Solomon, 7:10. So for a few moments together today, I'd like to talk with you about the Christian home. What's happened to the Christian home? We don't hear about it anymore. But what's happened? Do any of you know what a Christian home is? With 50% of marriages ending in divorce today, home life for many children has become unsettling. That's one thing wrong with our society today. The young people don't know what's going on. And we're all so built and constructed by our Maker that we need a mama and a daddy. We see husbands and wives experiencing loss and suffering and deep hurt and bitterness too much in our society today. And what's the cause of all this? You want me to tell you what the cause of it is? Somebody is not obeying the Lord. That's the cause. God intended for one man and one woman to be married for life and to have children. That's God's ideal plan for the family, for man and for woman. What do we got today? We got men with men, women with women, and they adopt children. That's not God's plan. What is going on today is not real love too often. People are getting married because of, if they get married, it's infatuation. We have a lot today that don't even get married anymore. One man boasted recently on TV that he had children by 14 different women, and he didn't support any of them. And that's happening a lot. That's just not a rare case. I'm going to say something that you might disagree with, but it's still true. When women left home and went to the offices and the factories, it was the beginning of the great destruction of the home. Satan has used this to the fullest to destroy what God intended for mankind. Women had to go to the factories when the war came because the men was at war. But after the war, they just stayed with their job. The money was good. Paul wrote to Titus, a young preacher, in Titus 2, beginning at verse 3, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wow, what a verse. Why would God tell women to stay home? Because he knew what we know now. Two things. First, too much hanky-panky at the workplace. The women went to the offices and the factories when the men went to the war. Number two, so after the war, the women are at work because they like the money. And so since that's happened, divorce has increased. The truth of God's word was conveniently set aside, and all in the name of freedom, liberty, and no one is going to tell me what to do. However, God has said that man is the head of the home, and there is to be a husband and a wife with loving their children, loving and serving God together. That's the Christian home. Amen. That's according to the Bible. We all suffer when we fail to seek God's will for a mate. I don't know how many times people have told me that they don't particularly care about a Christian, a person being a Christian. They're going to marry them anyway. You're inviting trouble when you do. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Christians, don't marry an unbeliever. It's trouble. "Oh, I can win him over." Well, you might. A lot of time, most of the time, you don't. And you just have a miserable marriage. And your home is not what it could be. Children, the children. The home is failing today in the rearing of children. Children not being taken to a Bible church to be taught about Jesus in the main of our country today. Low income apartments, mobile home parks, and the ghettos are producing children without the knowledge of God. If we was to leave church right now, all of us, get in our automobiles and drive to these parks and low-income places, you see the youngest out in the yard playing on this beautiful day. That's where the youngest would be at. They wouldn't be in church. Where's the Christian home at there? The people's not being taught the word of God. People are refusing to hear what God says. And it's going to bring about their own damnation. God doesn't want this. God wants people to know about him. God wants people to have a better life. You today, here in church, hopefully, you got a better life because you were taught about the Word of God and the need for Christ. And hopefully you're raising your children that way or have taught your children that way. But in a lot of America, that's not true today. The children right now are out in the street playing. You know what are being taught in a lot of the homes? And this is really true. Some homes, the children are being taught to hate other people. Hate them. This is a fact. This is not something I've made up. They're taught to hate. There are many Bible illiterate homes and people living in spiritual darkness in this country where the gospel is everywhere and the Bible is everywhere, yet people choose not to hear it. And God wants people to have a Christian upbringing. How can I thank God enough for the home I was raised in? How can I ever thank God for the kind of home I was raised in? How was I so blessed to have a home like that? And every person deserves a home like that. Every person deserves a home like that. I tell you what, there was no fussing and fighting in our home. My mom and daddy loved one another and respected one another. They took us children to church. I don't care what the weather was, we went to church. We walked. We went in the mulling wagon. We went in the old car that you had to push halfway to get it to crank. We went to church. What's happened to this generation today that people don't go to church? Children not being disciplined today. The public school system is proof of the dismal failure of parents properly raising their children. You just talk to school teachers. Some of them, the teachers are scared to go to church, to go to school because of the children in some places. And today in our society, look at the rioters, I'll get it out in a minute, protesters, and the politicians themselves. Our country's in a mess. Somebody hadn't been taught right. I'm talking about a Christian home. If you've been raised right, you'll live right. The fear of God is gone from our society today. Did you notice that? People's not afraid to sin against God now. Brother Chape was just talking a Sunday school lesson about the way people talk. No fear of God. God says in His Word He's going to hold people accountable for what to say. No fear of God, and people don't respect the law anymore. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. A commandment with a promise. What's the promise? That it might be well with you. Any of y'all want trouble? Obey your parents. And your parents are yours till they have passed away. Amen. That it might be well with you. And that thou mayest live long on the earth. See, there's two promises God gives. By honoring your parents. Young and you better. But y'all get you understand what I'm saying? An all-wise God is telling us how to get the most out of life. And who wants to hear it? It bothers me. It troubles me. Who wants to hear what my God says? Who knows best for all of us? And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you got a big responsibility. God's holding fathers responsible for their homes, because they're the head of the home. by God's divine appointment. It's going to be a sad day one day, folks. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And that is the word of God. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Y'all talk about the Lord at home? Or do you talk about the preacher? Serious. Do you really talk about the Lord while you're at home? Do you listen to the things of the Lord on the TV or the radio at home? And when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as fountainless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. That's what God told the Jewish people in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. God knows how quick we forget. That's why we need to keep the Bible before us. And the word of God sounding in our ears. A true home may be found in large houses or small houses, where there is much wealth or where there's poverty. You can have a Christian home. It's where there is love for God and His Word, where God's blessings will be found. Do you understand that only a few people are going to heaven, church? Do y'all understand that? Ratio-wise, there's just a few people going to heaven. All you got to do is go down and just look about you. What's going on? There are not many people seeking to live for God in this old world. But we're supposed to be a light before them. We're supposed to be an example before the Christian home. We have many who profess they are saved. But the Bible still says just a few are going to go to heaven. Ratio-wise. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to heaven? Amen. Are you going? Yes. Have you made plans to go? You can't go on your own. You can only go with Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Some think a home begins with a nice, large house with fine furniture. Well, that's all right, but that don't make it a Christian home. That just makes it a house with furniture, right? A home is composed of people loving one another. Were you raised in a home where there was love? I hope you were. Amen. I hope you were. If you weren't, how about creating one? How about that? How about having a home of love? I've noticed these fancy homes on TV. My wife sometimes and I watch some of those. Well, there's a couple of programs we like to watch occasionally. Boy, those are spick and span, aren't they? Wonder how anyone can enjoy a house like that. when you're scared almost to go into security. Personally, I want a home and not a house to live in. There's a difference between a home and a house. Amen? That does not mean that everything has to be strode and strung all over the place. Of course, everyone can have what they like, but my preference is for everything to be arranged for comfort, not necessarily looks. Let it be home. I don't want to live on pins, amen. A home should be a place of love between a husband and a wife. And I don't believe you got to go around mushy all the time. I love you, I love you. I don't believe you got to do that. You show love by the way you treat one another. What you do for one another. It's all right for her to give me some Snickers once in a while. Amen. I'll eat them. We need to be ourselves at home without pretense or fear of being unwanted. I need to be a Christian all the time, whether I'm at church or at home. I need to be the same person. I don't just need to be looking like a Christian when I get out. I need to be one at home. When the doors is shut. Is it a Christian home when the doors are shut at your house? Many a person has made a mess and a wreck of their life in an effort to surround themselves with luxuries they can't afford. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. Be satisfied with what God gives you. Don't be head over heels in debt, afraid for the phone to ring. In 1 Timothy 6 and 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. From time to time, I see people side the road with a backpack. I can't help but think about those people. They're living out of that backpack. That's all they got. They're still making it. But I wonder how many of them really call on the Lord. I got a feeling the Lord could give them better. I believe sometimes people just bring things on themselves because they just refuse to listen to what God says. God wants to bless people, folks. Over and over in the Old and the New Testament, God talks about, I want to bless you. But you got to listen to me, God says. You got to listen to me. I'm the source of all your blessings. Our Sunday school lesson today talked about God can take my breath anytime. He might not let me get one more. That's like being shut up in a jar. You know, if you were shut up in a jar, it wouldn't be long, you'd be used up all the air in it. God can take our breath any second. And we don't fear Him to obey Him. You know, when we leave this world church, if we're saved, we're going to go to a place where it's, can I say it this way? Christian. Amen. Can I say it that way, Brother Chavis? Everybody's going to be Christian in heaven. Brother Chavis, do you ever think about that? Everybody's going to be a Christian in heaven. Nobody cussing. Talking about their neighbor. Selfish. Greedy. Proud. In heaven, everybody's going to be Christian. Amen? You know what? God wants it here. God wants it here. He's going to have to take us out of here to take us there because so many here don't want it. Right? Oh, God's marvelous plan. But He gives everybody the opportunity to be Christian. Experience His life here. His goodness here. Oh, folks, listen. Let me share some thoughts with you here. Here's some scriptures relating to husband and wife that I looked up. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. John, you found a good thing. Amen. Hey, listen, that ain't all that first, Johnny. And findeth favor with the Lord. Amen. Brother Carey, you got a good thing there, son. You found favor with the Lord, Miss Sue. That's what the Bible says. Amen. All right, Bill, you better wake up, son. You got a good thing right there. No wonder yarn's low today. Listen. And a prudent or understanding wife is from the Lord. Well, I got one of them. I got an understanding wife. She understands I ain't no good. Amen. A prudent or understanding wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 19:14. Boy, if you got a wife that understands, God has blessed you. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil, Proverbs 31, verse 11 says. Men, do you have to worry about your wife running around? Hope not. The wisdom writer said, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Ecclesiastes 9:9. In other words, men, be happy with your wife, because God has given her to you to enjoy. And if we're Christians, that can be true. That can be true if we're Christians. Let thy fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of thy youth, he writes. Let her be as loving hind in a pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Proverbs 5:18-19. We'll talk about a Christian home this morning. To remind you, God wants Christian homes. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5:25. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. 1 Peter 3:1. Love alone can carry a husband and wife over the more difficult places of life. I know, being raised on that little tenant farm, how hard it was for Mom and Daddy. But you know, because they love one another, they made it. They made it. Ephesians 5:33, let every one of you so love his wife, even as Christ, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverts her husband. Ephesians 5:33. Marriage is a love relationship, church. Husbands, love Jesus. Wives, love Jesus. Love each other. Marriage is producing a family for the glory of God. Marriage is to be a picture of Christ's love for his church. Marriage, therefore, is a serious institution that is ordained of God, and those that make a mockery of it will answer for it. Solomon wrote, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death. I see sometimes someone's mate passes away. I think about my own dad when mama died. I don't believe I've ever seen a man so broken, so hurt, as Dad was. Daddy cried so much his eyes was just hollow. Actually, I believe that's the reason he got cancer in a few years. He just was so hurt at Mama's loss. I remember a friend, a neighbor, he lost his son. Oh, how that man wept over the loss of his son. And from time to time you see a mate pass away and the other one is so hurt, so broken. Why? Love is as strong as death. The picture of love was when God sent his only son who loved us so much. He let his son die. Horrible, horrible death to rescue me and you from our sin that had offended him. Love is as strong as death. God proved it. You're so loved today. You're so loved today. When we think about Valentine, love for man and his wife or sweethearts, that's good. But there's no love like God's love. God's love is eternal. And Father, thank you for loving creatures like us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the salvation that was provided through the death of the one you loved, because you loved your son so much. You said, this is my son that I love. And you gave him for us. We praise you. We love you, Lord. Help us to love you fully, completely, and be faithful in serving you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today. Maybe you need to come to the altar today. Talk to the Lord. Tell the Lord that you love him. If you love him. If you don't love him, ask the Lord to help you love him. Ask the